Thank you, thank you, thank you. If you have a blue shirt on that says, hi, could you stand up? Or how can I help? Can you just stand up just for a moment? Go ahead, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Guys, turn around, look at these people, look at these people. I can't say thank you enough to what they do. They're coming early, they're setting the tone. When we walk into the house of the Lord, we should be welcomed with a smile. It is really important. You know, you guys can sit down, but you know that being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus, means that we need to make hospitality a priority in our life. The serving of others, the caring for others, the loving for others. The church should be the shining example of what that is. It should be the shining example of what that is. So we pray, Lord, help us to be more hospitable. Help us to open our arms, Lord Jesus, into a further reach, Lord God, for Tampa Bay, in Jesus' name. All right, well, as you guys see, it's me again. I have successfully changed microphones while the video was going. I thought it might be cool if I would, like, change a coat or something and then put a mustache on, pretend like I'm someone totally different so you guys don't get bored of hearing my voice. Maybe changing my voice. No, maybe lower is better. Changing my voice a little bit better. But, guys, it's me. Have you already zoned my voice out? No? Okay, good. Okay, because what I am going to bring to you today has the opportunity of being life-changing in your prayer life. It has the opportunity, and the reason I say opportunity is you have to allow the Spirit to be at work inside of you. So I'm going to pray before we get started that the Spirit is at work in each one of us, in the hearts of everyone that hears this message, that it's not my words, but it's the power of the Word of God to transform our lives. And the way that we speak, the way that we declare, and even the way that we pray. So I will start by telling you guys a little bit of backstory of this sermon, and I'm going to be brief with it. So I was in one of my morning runs, and I'll typically just run for 1 mile. It's nothing, you know, fancy. Some people will come up to me, oh, you're a runner? No, I'm not a runner. But I will run, 1 mile. I try every single morning, and I feel that it gives me more energy through the day. It helps my mind stay sharp, and I believe that we need to take care of our bodies. We need to exercise them, okay? So as I'm in these times, this is an opportunity for me to be with the Lord and spend some one-on-one time with the Lord. As you guys know, I work a full-time job. I manage a hotel, 150 rooms. It's built in 1971. It has every single day a new opportunity in the roof or in the plumbing or in the anywhere, you name it. Opportunities galore. It keeps me very busy, but so does my family. I have 3 beautiful children, beautiful wife. I enjoy spending time with them. I enjoy the memories that we're creating. I enjoy watching my children grow. And as you guys know, I'm a pastor here at Grace and Faith Church and have had the privilege of, preaching to you guys often. I don't know if you guys consider that a privilege, but I do. Bringing the Word of God to you, I consider a great honor, and I take it very seriously. But in these moments that I am able to get alone, which are very rare, I spend them reflecting and meditating and speaking to the Lord. And as I'm on this run this one day, I'm praying to the Lord, but I'm going to be completely transparent with you. As I'm praying to the Lord, I'm struggling. Do you guys sometimes struggle when you pray? Do you sometimes go to pray and a couple words come out and then you just feel sleepy, so you just give up? Something about prayer will kind of make you tired. But I'm telling you what, I was running and I was praying and the words just weren't coming out. And it broke my heart because I want to speak to my Father, my Heavenly Father. I want to speak to Him. I want to have two-way communication. I want to hear His voice. I want to know what His plans are. I want to know what He wants. I want to have His guidance. And I've heard in the past, if you don't know what to pray, just say Jesus. If you don't know what to pray, pray in the Spirit. And yes, do that. If you don't know what to pray, pray Jesus. If you don't know what to pray in the Spirit. But if every single time you go to pray, you are experiencing, I don't know what to do, it's a red flag. And it was a red flag to me. And I started calling out to God as I'm running. I'm like, God, Help me. Teach me. Lord, I want to be able to communicate with you. You know, the most important people in our life, we have to take time to learn how to communicate with them. How I communicate with my son is very different than how I communicate with my wife. How I communicate with my wife is very different than how I communicate with my mother or with my father-in-law or with my friends. Every single person has a unique position in our lives, but every single person is unique in their own selves. Everyone requires a different way of communicating, a different way of being loved, of showing love. The five love languages, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I think you guys get where I'm going. So I'm asking God, I want to be able to communicate with you, Lord. How would you like me to speak to you? How can I pray? Teach me to pray. And as I'm running and I'm asking God, teach me how to pray, the scripture, I remember that there's a scripture where the disciples had asked Jesus to pray. I don't remember where it is in the Bible, but I asked the Lord, Lord, help me. Help me in this moment. I need you, and I want to learn how to communicate with you on a whole different level. I feel like there's more. God, I feel like there's more. And he gave me Luke 11. He just said, Luke 11. And I said, okay. You know, sometimes when you hear a voice, you feel like, you know, is that just me coming up with that? Is that just, you know, my inner conscience coming up with something? So I tested it. I said, Lord, if this is you, I'm going to pull out Spotify as I'm running. And I was running sideways. Have you guys ever tried to be on your phone while you're running? It's like having a flat tire in your car, and you're going to veer off to the side. So, you know, as far as my neighbors are concerned, I'm already kind of crazy running around the neighborhood, you know. But I'm fumbling off to the side, but I don't want to stop. I have the Nike Run app on my phone, and if you stop, it kind of messes up your stats, you know what I mean? My stats are horrible, but I don't want to mess them up even worse. So as I'm trying not to stop, I don't want it to pause my workout. I finally find Luke 11. I hit play, and the Lord opens and reveals something and takes me on a complete journey that started that day. And I want to bring you through that journey that he brought me through, because I believe that what I received and what I learned that day, and from the moment I've been digging and meditating and chewing on these scriptures, that the same thing can be given to you and imparted to you. Can I bring you on a journey this morning? Yes. Half of you are ready to go. Okay, here we go. Luke 11, 1 through 4, in the New Living Translation. It says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, and as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. The moment I heard that, now I'm running, and it's the first thing I heard. And I was expecting, okay, Lord, if this is in Luke 11, it's probably going to be like in the middle or somewhere in there. And it was the very first part of the scripture. Tears are just coming in my eyes. Lord, you care. Lord, you hear us when we ask you. When we call out for help, you hear us. I'm already feeling something is about to happen. Tears in my eyes. Have you guys ran with tears in your eyes before? Already I'm stumbling to the side. Now tears in my eyes. I'm just waiting to hit a mailbox. Like, I'm already dodging mailboxes. It's about to happen. And I go on and I'm listening, and it says, Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. Just take a moment and just let that sink in. Father, may your name be kept holy. Lord, what can I do today to keep your name holy? Lord, what can I keep off of my lips today to keep your name holy? What can I declare that is great about you that will help keep your name holy? Let me be a part of this. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. So I'm listening to this and I'm saying, yes, this is how we should pray. But you know, when Jesus was trying to teach something into the heart, he would always give it in multiple ways, because he knows our human nature. God knows our human nature, and our human nature wants to always ask for a recipe. We love recipes. And we always ask God, you know, I find myself, you know, doing it, especially in the past, God, give me a recipe for success. Tell me exactly how to pray. And what we have done in our own carnal human nature is we've taken this prayer and turned it into something that can just be recited even without understanding what we're really saying. Recited even under not really understanding, not really chewing it, not really understanding it. So Jesus says, I'm not going to just give you an example, because I know what you're going to do with that. I'm going to give you a story that reveals a bit of my heart and my nature so you can learn how to communicate, so that you can learn how to pray. So he goes on to say, I'm now in the NIV, Luke 11:5-10, verse 5, then Jesus said to them, he tells them a story, a parable. Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up because of friendship, stop. This day and age was very different. And the layout in this time was very different of the homes. And, you know, I think if someone came and knocked on my door, I might be able to get them some bread without disturbing the peace. But in this day and age, often there would be a two-story building, and down below they would keep their livestock, and up above was just spread out all these beds where, you know, the whole family would be very close together. They'd be very close together. And it would require you to disturb the entire family, all of the children, the livestock. You'd probably wake up like some birds or something, and they'd start crowing, and they'd start cock-a-doodle-dooing or whatever at midnight, and now your neighbors are going to be upset. This was a big deal. This neighbor's saying, no, I can't come help you. I've already locked the door. I'm not going to do all this. You're crazy. It's midnight. You know, go deal with it. Get some bread tomorrow. And here's what it says. Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up to give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity. Your shameless audacity. You guys, I almost tripped over myself as I heard these words. Something in my spirit welled up. I mean, from deep in my spirit, something welled up. And as I'm running, I couldn't help it. I wasn't even thinking. Something from my spirit welled up and I went, yes! And my neighbors, who already think I'm crazy, because I'm running, I'm on my phone, I have tears coming down my eyes, I'm dodging mailboxes, now I'm screaming, yes! The Spirit of the Lord welled up inside of me. And this phrase, shameless audacity, unlocked something inside of me that made me so hungry to understand what he really means by this shameless audacity. What will this shameless audacity do to our prayer life? What will this shameless audacity do to our stamina for believing for the things of the Lord? I go on to say, and the scripture says, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Everyone in this room say, as much as you need. One more time. Come on, guys. As much as you need. Shameless audacity. Can we just set some precedents in this place? And can we just start thanking him for this phrase before we even know the power of it? Just start to thank him in this place. Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. We pray, Lord God, that it would be transforming. Verse 9 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the doors will be opened. Just bow your heads. I want to pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that this scripture would right now start to penetrate inside of our hearts, Lord God. Lord, we come to you saying that we believe that there is more. We come to you saying that we believe, Lord, that our prayer lives have been a bit timid. And we are coming to you in humility, Lord Jesus, to say, Lord God, we want to come into a line with the way that you would have us live, that you would have us declare, and that you would have us pray. So let your spirit start to plant the seed inside of us right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Has anybody, the scripture says, knock, 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 knock. This person, he's knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door. He's knocking at the door. Has anybody here ever had a solicitor knock on your door? Let me see a show of hands. Have you? Okay, my neighborhood, I don't know. It's like solicitor central. I think they all like have meetings in the streets. It's like parades of solicitors. It's a whole thing. Solicitors everywhere. So in the Woods household, we have this thing. So when someone comes knocks on the door, we just don't do anything. But yet, I have these old crank windows in my house. Old aluminum crank windows still. And some of them don't even work, but they're pretty rough. These old crank windows. And when someone comes and knocks on my door, they can hear every little whisper going inside of my house. And they can hear the chaos ensue, okay? The three children automatically jump, whatever they're doing, wherever they are, even in the bathroom, they will come running out. Somebody's at the door! And they're screaming it. I'm like, okay, well, if my cars weren't obvious out in the parking lot, now it's very obvious. There's a lot of people in this house. We can probably enter the door, but we're not going to. But then all of a sudden, without fail, the pitter-patter of a three-year-old's feet goes pitter-pattering from one room to the other as she runs to the door to unlock it. And the voice of her parents saying, no, don't unlock the door. It's not Grandy Nandy. It's not Pa. It's not Auntie Ambie. It's someone with a clipboard. Stop. Stop. And she'll stop. And the person out there is knocking and they hear it all. I know they hear it all. I've been in my front yard. I hear it all. And they're knocking. We've been very successful at not answering that door. We're like professionals at it. So I thought. So one morning I am awoken by a phone call. I don't recognize the number, but because of my work, I often get calls from numbers I don't recognize, you know, vendors and different parties. So I answer the phone, hello, and the person on the phone says, I am calling to confirm your appointment. And I said, no, you're definitely calling the wrong place. Like, this is the Woods house. I would know if there's an appointment. There's no appointment. And she says, well, my record says that Amy Woods answered the door. Well, okay, you know who I'm calling after this phone call's over. You know who I'm about to call. Oh, she did she? She answered the door, okay. Oh, yep, so the appointment is Thursday at 7 p.m. You're gonna come measure my windows at 7 p.m. while we're eating dinner. The audacity, the shameless audacity of this person. Okay, so I hang up and I call my wife. Hey, babe, do we have an appointment scheduled for Thursday at 7 p.m.? Oh, yes, I meant to tell you. Someone was knocking at the door, but they wouldn't stop. So I answered the door. So Thursday, 7 o'clock rolls around, and listen, men, we rarely get the opportunity to give the look. Our wives always give the look. You know, we've done something. We've always done something. I was able to give the look, and I milked it. I answered the door, and I said, okay, well, the gates are unlocked. You can go on around. You can measure the windows. Just here, you know, email me the quote. And this person says, no, I need to come in. And I said, no. We've had, like, 5 quotes over the years. They always measure on the outside. Nope, I have to measure on the inside. I have to come inside the house. So I gave the look. My wife, she's there in the kitchen cooking. She's kind of grinning and looking like, yeah, it's your problem now. So I'm like, okay. I see what's going on here. Yeah, come on inside of our house at 7 o'clock. We're just preparing dinner. Whatever. It's okay. It's great. You guys all plan this, but, you know, I guess I'm going to bring you around the house and let you measure all these windows. We went room to room to room to room, measured the windows, and I said, okay, you got your measurements. Just go ahead and send me the quote. And this person sits down at my dining room table. The audacity! It's 7 o'clock at night in the Woods household. Dinner is very important. The audacity. My dining room table, 7 o'clock at night, showing me cross sections of a little pretend window, what it looks like on the inside, holding up little lamps, showing that the UVs don't go through. The audacity. 7 o'clock. So my wife starts putting out the bowls of soup for my kids to start eating. We're not going to eat. I can't eat, you know, while I'm talking to her. I thought maybe that might, you know, show a little bit of a sign, but I don't want to be rude. So my kids start eating. It starts getting so awkward. My son is looking like, guys, what is going on? The audacity of this person. He feels so bad that he goes in the kitchen and makes this person a bowl of soup and brings it to the dining room table and puts it in front of this person and just like this. Super awkward, the audacity. 7 o'clock, showing me cross sections of a pretend window. I gave the look a few more times. Really milked this one, guys. I really milked this one. Gave the look a few more times. Needless to say that once I received the over $30,000 quote for like 8 windows, I realized that my ways were not this person's ways. And my thoughts were not this person's thoughts. But I'll tell you what. The person who was assigned to knock on the door was not the same person as the salesperson. The person that was assigned to knock on that door kept knocking, kept knocking, kept knocking, and got the appointment that they wanted. And begrudgingly, the Woods household allowed this appointment to happen. How much more will your Father in heaven, when you knock and you knock and you knock? You're not a window salesman to the Father. You're a son and you're a daughter. How much more will he listen and bend his ear down to you? Listen to this. We're going to move to 1 Samuel. This is really, really, really important. And I really want you to catch this. 1 Samuel, we read about Elkanah. Elkanah has two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Now, in this day and age, again, remember, we're not talking about 2023. In this day and age, especially, in this age, especially, there was a burden and there was a shame on a woman who could not provide a son or any children. There was a shame because in this day and age, the value of a woman, even a man, but especially the value of a woman was directly tied to her ability to create sons. And Hannah could not create sons, nor could she create daughters. Each year, Elkanah would travel to a place called Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord at the tabernacle. And in Samuel 1, verse 4, it says, on the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. How evil. How despicable. How hurtful. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why are you not eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Women, do we sometimes sound like that? Do us men say some strange things like that? Like, do you think I should try that one on my wife one of these days? Like, she's going through some really hard time. Like, babe, you got me. How hard could it be? Life must be pretty good. Men, don't do that. If you do, let me know the story, though. I want to hear it. Be a good one. Verse 9. Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord and made this vow. O Lord of heaven's armies, she starts her prayer. The audacity. The audacity for this woman who had been knocking and asking for a son. The audacity of this woman to go and to wait till she was near the temple and in the temple, to go into the presence of God and ask for a son. The audacity. She had been knocking and she had been knocking. How bold. Imagine the faith shift if we would learn to start our prayers with putting God on that kind of throne. Imagine our faith shift if we started some of our prayers, and not every prayer needs to be started this way, but there are certain prayers in your life that should be started by reminding yourself and putting God on the throne where God belongs. O Lord of heaven's armies. You know which Lord that is? That's the one that fights your battles. That's the one who conquers sin and death. That's the one that is beside you through the trials, holding you with one hand and fighting with the other. That's the God. That God needs to be put on our throne. That God needs to be on the forefront of our prayers. Oh, God of heaven's armies. Yes, come on. He's worthy. If you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son. The shameless audacity for her not just to ask for her womb, for the chains of her womb to be opened, but she has the audacity to select the gender of the child that she will give birth to. The audacity. And you know what? God is listening to this and he's loving it. Do you know why he's loving it? Do you know why he's loving it? You'll see in just a moment. Listen to this. Then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime. And as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her, seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound. Have you ever been in that type of pain? Have you ever cried that way where not even a sound could come out? You could barely even catch your breath. I have. I've been in those moments. Any mothers here? Have you heard all the different cries that your children have? There's a hungry cry. There's a cold cry. There's a diaper cry. But when that child cries and can't catch his breath, that is a pain cry. That is an anguish cry. And Hannah is crying out in utter anguish. And she's saying here that her lips are moving, but hearing no sound. Eli thought she had been drinking. Must you come here drunk? He demanded, throw away your wine. Throw away. He thought she was drunk. She was acting so desperate, so gruesome. Everything was just about to just come out of her. He thought that she was drunk. Oh, no, sir. Verse 15, she replied, I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and great sorrow. And I just want to say here, just for a moment, just to pause and say that I know that some of you are going through and have been through and will go through great sorrows in your life. But the first point of this sermon is to encourage you to not stop knocking. And maybe some of you, just like the salesperson knocks on the door, it's usually then a little bit of a pause and maybe a second knock. And it starts getting quiet, and it starts getting awkward, and the person thinks, oh, no one's coming to the door. And by that third knock, that's it. They've given up. And so have we, and so do we. One, two, three knocks, and we say, you know what? God doesn't answer prayers. God doesn't answer my prayers. God doesn't hear me. I must be too sinful. And church, I'm here to say, if you're used to knocking three times, then after this sermon, knock four. And if you're accustomed to knocking 20 times, after the sermon, knock 21. But I'm encouraging you today to know that the God of heaven's armies is behind that door, lovingly, lovingly planning a great, great victory for you. A great victory. Verse 17, in that case, Eli said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked on him. Oh, thank you, sir, she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Verse 19, the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. And then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, everybody say due time. You could easily look at this and say, well, due time is 9 months. Due time is 9 months. It's just due time. But listen, when you're knocking on the door, there is a due time. And that due time might not be your time, but it might be God's time. Don't let God's not yet be confused with a God's no. Don't let God's not yet be confused with God's no. Something's happening here. Something's happening here. In due time, she gave birth to a son, the very thing she audaciously asked for. The very thing she audaciously asked for. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. The next year, Elkanah and his family went on their annual trip to offer sacrifice to the Lord and to keep his vow, but Hannah did not go. She told her husband, wait until the boy is weaned, then I will take him to the tabernacle and leave him there with the Lord permanently. Now listen to what he says next. You can tell he's definitely changed his attitude a little bit from the whole, well, you got me, babe, comment. And he says, whatever you think is best. He's definitely changed his tone. Happy wife, happy. I think he's kind of running in that vein at this point. Whatever you think is best, he agreed. Stay here for now, and may the Lord help you keep your promise. So she stayed home and nursed the boy until he was weaned. 24, this is where it gets even better. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. They brought along a 3-year-old bull for the sacrifice and a basket of flour and some wine. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. Listen to this. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah says to Eli. Hannah asked, I am the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worshiped the Lord there. Can someone give him some praise right now? Hannah knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking with shameless audacity went before the King of Kings, putting him on his throne, saying to the Lord of heaven's armies, the one who fights my battles, give me a son. Just like the man knocking, saying, I know you got bread in there. I know you've got bread in there. I've seen it. I've smelt it. I've seen you working on it. I've seen the flour. I know you have it in there. Hannah goes up before the Lord saying, I know you got a son for me. I know you have a plan for me. I know you didn't call me to a life of shame. Now listen to this. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. And I'm here to say we all have a Peninnah in our life. Whether it be a person, a family member, someone that we know, someone that has hurt us, someone that has constantly, year after year, covered us in shame, or we have been met with a spiritual opposition, which can be even worse. Which can be even worse. And spiritually attacked and covered by shame over and over and over and over. But I'm telling you that the hand of God can reach into that shame and smooth it out. Listen to this. The name Peninnah, it means pearl. Or the verb or the act of pearling. And as Peninnah is shaming Hannah over and over and over, hundreds of times, year after year, constantly, over and over and over, God is putting his hands into the situation and is saying, Hannah, you have been knocking and you have been knocking, but it wasn't time yet. Thank you, Hannah, that you have not confused my not yet with a no, but you have stayed faithful to knock shamelessly, to knock audaciously. Because Hannah, it wasn't time yet. But Hannah, I needed a Samuel. And I reached my hands into your circumstances, and every bit of shame that was putting on to you, the hand of God was creating a true pearl inside of the womb of Hannah. God says to Hannah, I needed a Samuel. I needed a Samuel in due time. I had a victory waiting for you, and I have created inside of you this pearl, this true pearl called Samuel, because Samuel, the very one who would come to call King Saul, the very one who would anoint King David, the lineage that brings Jesus Christ here into this earth with a destiny to reclaim and to save all of humanity. Samuel was a part of this plan, and in due time, this perfect pearl created by the hand of God, by a woman unwilling to give up knocking and to come before the Lord with shameless audacity, in due time, God reveals a victory. Come on, give him some praise. You know, the thing about knocking that is so important is when you are knocking, you are steadfast. When you are knocking, you are not wavering to the left. You are not wavering to the right. You are not hitting mailboxes. When you are wavering, you are standing before the presence of the Lord saying, I will not leave until I see your promises fulfilled in my life. There is something to be said about the power of knocking. If I can encourage you, church, to keep knocking. Some of you have knocked on past doors and have given up after three knocks. There are people in this room that God is calling back to doors that you have left that he has called you to. There are some people in this room that God is calling you back to promises that you let go because after three knocks, you gave up. But he's saying, I am putting inside of your spirit the willingness to shamelessly, audaciously enter the prayer closet to say, you know what, God? My prayers have been timid and I repent. You have called me to something higher. You have called me to something greater, and I cannot go through this door unless I grab hold of some of this shameless audacity in my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want to share just one more scripture with you. This is really great. This is really good. In Matthew 15, 21 through 28, then Jesus left Galilee and went north toward the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her, go away, they said. She's bothering us with all of her begging, her knocking, constantly knocking. It won't stop. Please send her away. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she came and worshiped him. The audacity. To be turned away by God himself and to worship. But God had a plan. God had a purpose. And it can be very confusing for some people to hear this and to hear some of these strong words that Jesus said until you understand the spiritual warfare that's happening behind the scenes. Secret spiritual warfare. pleaded again, "Lord, help me." Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." Oh, in this day of PR and if this day of, that's not right. You can't say that, Jesus. What is he saying? Why is he saying this? She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." The shameless audacity of this woman. She won't stop knocking. She won't take no for an answer. She comes to him with a shameless, audacious reply. And you know, inside of Jesus' heart, he is bursting with joy. He is loving this. Because this is the same thing he has taught his people how to approach him. It's the very, very same thing that he has taught his people how to pray to break chains. He is bursting inside. But listen to this. He says, "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great. Your request is granted." And her daughter was instantly healed. You know, some people see instant healing. Some people see instant healing, but instant healing is often the reality of insistent prayer. Often people will come in and see God just do a miracle, but what about the insistent knocking that happened behind the scenes? We thank God for the instant miracles. We thank God for the things that we see happen right away, but rarely do those things truly happen instantaneously. There is usually a knocking that is required. There is usually a humbling that is required. And we go in, how do we go in from being humbled to being bold? Because we go not in our own strength, but we go in the strength of the Holy Spirit. So in boldness we go and we can say and we can enter the Lord of heaven's army's presence, requesting to the God who fights our battles for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Church, our prayers have been too timid and our expectations have been too limited. And I pray that what you have heard today will stretch you. And I pray that what you have heard today would only be a seed. And if it requires you to go home and to read Luke 11 for yourself, and to read this account, and to read the three ways that Jesus imparts how we should pray, and if it means that you have to get into your own prayer closet and test out this shameless audacity, then let it begin today and let it begin this moment with our next prayer. Can you bow your heads one more time for me? Lord, we thank you for this word. Lord, we thank you for the shameless audacity that time after time we see in your word. From Jacob wrestling all night with an angel of God saying, "I won't let go of you until you bless me." From the four men carrying the paralyzed man into the house, but they couldn't get in. Instead of giving up, they ripped the floor, and with shameless audacity, they brought that man down to be healed. Lord, let us come to a realization in our spirit, this key to your presence, this key to your prayer, and this key to our walk in our daily lives, that there must be more, and we want it. Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would seal this word and would seal the seed in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, could you just stand just for a moment? Before we leave, I want to ask one more question. Is there anybody in this room who does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and their Savior? Because I want to take a moment to pray. You know, if Pastor Rob would hear, he wouldn't lose a moment to capture somebody that is calling out and in need of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in this room that would like to ask Jesus for the very first time or even recommit their life to Jesus Christ this morning? Go ahead and just slip your hand up if that's you right now, and we're all going to pray with you. If you're in this room, I see your hand. If you're in this room, we are going to do this together. We're going to do this as one. Is there anybody else who can admit that I need a Savior, that I need Jesus? Is there anybody else that can admit, I can't even fathom going one more step without a Savior? Is there anybody else in this room? Well, together, church, let's pray. Say, Jesus, Lord of heaven's armies, thank you for dying for me. I know that I have sinned, and I know that I've fallen short. But I'm willing to give you these shortcomings. And I know that you will fill me with your presence. I vow to walk with you, and I vow to talk with you, and I vow to be in a relationship with you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, if that was your first time, if anyone said that for the very first time, I would like to meet you down here and with some of the prayer leaders in the church. I would like to pray with you. Even if you didn't put your hand up, if that was your first time praying that and you meant it, I want a moment with you to share more of the love of Jesus Christ. For the rest of you, I look forward to worshiping again with you in 1 week. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our worship. Church, go home and shamelessly, audaciously go into his presence. Come next Sunday ready to praise him on a whole nother.